We will get started. Thanks everybody for joining us today. This is the NYSO Open Teleconference for October. We are the third week this time and the Tuesday instead of the Monday, but I'm happy to see that many of you have been able to accommodate our little change and really happy that you're with us today. My name is Nettie Lagasse. I'm the Associate Executive Director of NYSO. And I'm joined today with many representatives from the JATS for R initiative, which is now a NYSO working group. So we're going to be exploring JATS for R, JATS for Reuse, today. And I'm pleased to be introducing the following slate of JATS for R experts. We have, and I hope all of you, the experts, can just say hello while I introduce you. Melissa Harrison from eLife.
Hi there.
Hey, Kevin Lawson from Sheridan.
Hi, everybody. Thanks.
Stephen Laverick from Green 15 Publishing Consultancy.
Hello there.
Nick Nunes from Highwire Press.
Hello.
Hey, and Jeff Beck from NLM NIH.
Hello.
Great. Thanks, everybody, all of you, for joining us. So our format for the Open Teleconference is really pretty, I hope, informal enough that allows a lot of participation from the audience. This is a telephone conversation. There are no slides. It's nothing visual, so which for better or worse. And we structured this as a conversation with the JATS for R folks. We are really interested in getting any questions from the audience, other participants that you might like to pose. I guess it's up to you if you want to ask a question when it occurs to you and just pipe up, that's fine. If you want to hold questions till the end, that's also another way. It sort of, I guess, just depends on whether or not you think it's something that is best addressed sooner rather than later. That's up to you. It's an open teleconference. We are recording the call, and after the conversation and questions have been answered, before we end the call completely, I shut off the recording and I allow a minute or two for anyone to ask any question that they don't want to have recorded. That's okay, and then we allow any time for general questions about NYSO. So if you have things that you want to know about NYSO in general, there's time for that too. So I think that's the general gist of it. Also, just to say, we are recording the call, and sometimes background noises from participants gets in the way. If I sense that, I might mute you, but if you've got a mute button on your own side that you can use when you are not speaking, and that's also helpful, particularly if you are in a somewhat noisy environment. But we're happy to have you today. So all of you, Melissa, Kevin, Stephen, Nick, and Jeff, maybe just get started. A simple question, how did each of you get involved with JATS for R? And maybe that also folds in the question, how did JATS for R begin as an effort? I'm not sure who wants to go with that first, but why not Melissa?
Okay, yeah, no, that's fine. So at JATSCon 2013/2014, the one that kind of got moved around a little bit, there was a call from Jeff Beck, I think it was in the open session, for publishers to maybe get together and try and create kind of an XML standardization group. And from that call, Cameron Nalon, who was at PLOS then, contacted six open access publishers, of which eLife was one. So it was F1000, Ubiquity Press, Open Book Publishers Hindawi, and then obviously PLOS and eLife, and said, hey, why don't we try and do this? So we took up the challenge. So eLife, I said, okay, cool, I want to do this. And at the time, we knew that there was going to be a meeting in June for a data site workshop, and we knew that Jeff was going to be over for that and a few other people that were interested. So the day after, we had the first meeting at the eLife offices, and on the email. It was the I can't remember, we called it the XML standardization group, and at that meeting the name Jats for R was born. And from that, there was a group of people, and that also included Daniel Meacham, who was very interested in the standardization of JATS and his main concern. And I think this is why the call kind of came out of the open access publishers, was the issue that when he was data mining, he could never necessarily find out what the license was, or if he could, he didn't know whether there were certain aspects of his content that weren't under an open license. And so that was one of his kind of his big bugbears. So anyway, so the group started off, it was initially like a GitHub repo and website that the people in that group set up, and it's changed a lot since then. And I would say that most of the, well, I'd say eLife is the only publisher left of that group who is a kind of regular participant or even on the steering committee now.
Interesting. What year was that it began?
So that was 2014. So the first meeting,
okay,
June 2014.
Great. So five years old. So that's how you got involved. Kevin, how did you come into the Jats for R sphere?
Yeah, I've been involved for a couple of years now. And I think where I first learned of Jats for R was at a conference. I believe it was the JatsCon conference, and was particularly interested and started to follow the group through the online website, etc. And in my role at Sheridan, we work with standards all the way through the process, from you know the initial receipt of peer review XML all the way to final deliverables. So in my role, I'm responsible for automations and trying to standardize whenever possible, and mm-hmm. you know, whatever we can do to facilitate reusability, standardization in the industry, it's really to everybody's benefit. And I, you know, we'll get into that, but that was, you know, part of why I became interested in the group initially.
Great, yeah, so it fit right in. Stephen, how about you?
Well, I was a regular attendee of JatsCon. I was at the conference when Jeff put out his call to arms. Unfortunately, at the time, I wasn't able to get that involved because I was based in Beijing in China at the time, and it was difficult enough for me getting onto customer calls with customers based in the US and the UK and Europe and things like that, without then volunteering to spend yet more late nights on a phone call. So very much like Kevin, I kind of kept an eye on things from afar. You know, there were regular updates at JatsCon, as well as obviously the website getting updated. And then around about 3 years ago, I moved back to the UK and just really felt like I wanted to get a bit more involved. I reached out to Melissa. Melissa and I have known each other for years and years. So this was around about the time that Jats for R was kind of thinking about having a restructure. I think that we'd, I say we, obviously I wasn't involved in that time, but back then they'd kind of got over the initial hurdles and were kind of thinking about, right, okay, what do we need to do next? And as such, really were having something of a restructure. So Melissa at that time asked me to join up with the steering committee, and I was only too happy to oblige.
Great, good. Nick, what's your story for Jats for R?
So Highwire was participating in Jats for R from very early on, but originally it was a predecessor of mine. Mike Minarek, who was the Highwire representative to the Jats for R committee. And around the time that Jats for R restructured, we had kind of lost contact with Jats for R. We weren't part of any of the subgroups and not part of the steering committee. And recently I've rejoined the steering committee, so I'm the newest member of the steering committee.
Great. And Jeff, it sounds like Jats for R was your brainchild. That's how you got involved, or is there more to say about that?
I don't know about that. At that 2014 JATSCon, Melissa alluded to this, but Daniel Meechan, those of you who know him, know that he has a way of pointing out everything that you're doing wrong. he got up and talked about the inability for him to find him and his robot to find specific licensing information in articles that he pulled out of the PMC open access subset that was available for data mining. It's not that the information was not available in the XML, the JATS XML that we share, but that it wasn't tagged consistently enough for his machines to find it.
Right.
So after I got over the, realized that he's making a really good point, I got up and said in the open session that, you know, he's making a really good point, and it would be great if a bunch of people who were not me got together and solved this problem. Unfortunately, I've been wrapped up in it ever since. I was able to go to the first meeting at the eLife offices, and I've been involved ever since.
That's great. So it was Daniel's problem, but I presume other people were having it too, that the lack of consistency in tagging just meant that it couldn't be used in other functions or other contexts.
That's right. The lack of consistency in tagging made it hard for him to reuse the existing corpus of XML art.
So that's where the reuse comes into the name. A general question: Can any of you speak about reusability in general, especially since that's part of the JATS for our name? Why is reusability important, and should users always strive for reusability, or are there contexts where it's not as necessary? Don't all jump in.
Yeah, Nettie, this is Kevin. I guess I could speak from like a compositor or file provider perspective. And like the reusability along with the standardization of input and output across different publications, I think lends itself better to automation through the publishing workflow and helps tighten QA processes throughout. And that could be prior to the author editor proof stages, or it could be at final deliverables to the online hosts and print sites. So the more something can be automated, the more efficient the underlying process will be, and the faster the product can be turned around. And I think reusability also minimizes conversions that might otherwise be needed if like online host requirements are not consistent with one another.
Yeah.
Because the more files are modified, the more chances an error could be introduced. So, you know, it really, you know, from that perspective, it really helps the entire process. It helps the quality, and it helps the turnaround times, especially.
So the file creators should realize that they may not be creating it just for themselves at that moment, but it may be used in some other way in the future.
Nettie, if I could just add, right at the beginning, we had these very lofty ideas that, you know, we would completely standardize all XML, and therefore each time you transition with another vendor, whether it be your kind of typesetter, compositor, kind of XML creator, your host, your submission system, anything like that, that you would have kind of like a no cost transfer because everyone would have exactly the same tagging requirements. Now, you know, obviously that
sounds like a really beautiful world.
Yeah, exactly. That, you know, it's a beautiful world, but, you know, we're not convinced that's going to happen, but like there is that idea. And also often sometimes publishers don't necessarily realize some of the issues with JATS and how things can be tagged in a multitude of ways, and telling your typesetting compositor just give me JATS, you know, is not that kind of simple. And so for people maybe that aren't that familiar with XML, this would also give them an opportunity to just provide standard instructions to various vendors. And if they all have things in a similar way, it would work. And I mean, it's interesting how, I'm probably kind of skipping ahead a bit here, but how many kind of links there are now. So like with the Mecca group, they are they're thinking, you know, about output from submission systems, but they're really looking at what Jack Rar is doing, because again, if there's kind of a standard way things can be done and we can all work to the same end, then it just really simplifies things for a lot of people.
Yep.
And the one thing I think everyone needs to realize about reuse, which isn't always obvious, is that even if you're not sharing your content with an aggregator or some indexing service or something, which are all examples of reuse, there's going to come a time when you're going to want to go back into your XML and do something with it, your own stuff. And if you've not figured out how to tag things consistently over time, your project is going to be huge and almost insurmountable. But if you've tagged it consistently over time, then that's the promise of XML, is that you can then reuse your content relatively easily.
Yep. So then moving on to the recommendations or the JATS for our process itself, I think it's really interesting as a model process. Is from my perspective, it sort of takes off little bites at a time and works on very discrete elements rather than trying to make a big pronouncement over a broader area. And that's really interesting to me. I'm curious if you guys can talk about how, well, maybe not so much how you came to that process, but how does it prioritize what to work on, or what kinds of things do you like about the JATS for our process that you're using?
I think this is a good opportunity to kind of hook out the name of Mary Saligi, who was very fundamental in helping us change the process. So when we first set out, we used to have kind of, I think it was monthly calls, and it was that kind of monolithic idea. Even though we were focusing on one area, it used to just kind of circle, and they were quite big, meaty things. Now we have these subgroups, and they are a kind of defined group. So if someone wants to join in and focus on a group, they can, and they don't have to be subjected to kind of.
So at any time, there's like three or four different subgroups working, right?
Yes.
That's great. Correct. Yep.
So sorry, the prior.
No, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I was curious about. You know, what makes one, how do you prioritize or decide, you know, of all of these different things that we want to do, how do we decide which is the most important, or something builds on another thing, or are there conversations about that?
Yeah, we have set out calls for input from a number of kind of JATSCon sessions. We've had some input, and we know that, you know, so things like the authors and affiliations group, that was a big request from the community. Sometimes also what can happen is something new coming along. Like, so for instance, publishing peer review materials is a big new issue that a lot of people are facing. And we wanted to get out there ahead of the curve, so to speak, so that we could provide a recommendation and get standardization before it happened. So there are those two different methods, and they each come with their challenges. So again, Mary was the one who ran the authors and affiliations group, and it was quite painful, because that's a well-established practice. There are a number of ways to do that, and they had to settle on three different ways to manage this tagging to not alienate specific groups of people that were fixed down one route. That's kind of one way, but like with the peer review materials, we have a different challenge in that very few people are doing this, so we don't have many samples and examples, and not quite sure what people might want to do, so we're trying to kind of think to a future that we're not sure about. So, and that's quite, it's quite interesting, and it comes up with kind of different challenges. I think Kevin and Stephen have both recently been running some projects on kind of current tagging for various things. So I'm going to shut up now.
I think that we'd like to think that we're quite community driven. You know, the various different topics that we tackle, we'll often try and put a call out to the community, whether that be at a conference such as JATS for R, or through the use of our mailing list or social media or whatever it might be. So we've got a almost like a to-do list or a roadmap of various things that have been brought to us where people would like us to put together some recommendations. But like Melissa says, sometimes we try and shoehorn stuff in where we kind of feel that there is a need for it. I mean, the people on the steering committee come from relatively diverse backgrounds in terms of their day-to-day roles. So we would like to think that we're kind of pulling in from different areas and able to be relatively agile when it comes to that kind of thing. So yeah, mainly community driven, but also, like I say, we try and keep our eyes open for anything that we think might be an issue before it becomes an issue, if you like.
Yep. So the steering committee, all of you are members of the steering committee. The steering committee consists of the chairs of all of the subgroups, or is it the other way around? The subgroups have co-chairs that are drawn from the steering committee, or it depends?
It's currently the other way around. So what we started off doing was having members of the steering committee act as the chairs of the various subgroups. What we found is that maybe isn't necessarily the best idea. I think that we've found that we're maybe spreading ourselves a little thin. So we've kind of come around to this idea that we actually, rather than having chairs of the subgroups, that we're going to try and sort that out so that we have co-chairs. And obviously there's only so many of us, so we are actively trying to find people who aren't necessarily members of the steering committee, who would be willing to act as co-chairs for the subgroups.
Yeah, no, it's something that I've really admired with all of you is your ability to modify things on a dime if it's not working. Everyone's really happy to change. So moving on, I guess an important piece of JATS for R is it's based on JATS. Could some of you or one of you talk about how does JATS for R interact with JATS? And maybe also what's the difference between the NISO JATS Standing Committee, which is the group that maintains the ANSI NISO JATS standard, and this initiative JATS for R.
Okay.
And why aren't these things that you are worrying about, why are the people who are managing the standard not so seemingly so concerned, although Jeff is here, so of course he's very concerned.
Yeah, I think there are two of us. Nick and I are both on the...
Oh, yes, of course. Nick, too. Thank you.
That's standing committee. And you have to excuse me if I get standing and steering mixed up.
Yeah.
But the...
too many committees.
The NISO JATS Standing Committee is a group that maintains the standard, the JATS article models. And I explained this in a presentation this summer. The difference that I see between the two groups is that the JATS Standing Committee that manages the standard is trying to build and maintain the best article model that will get the best use so that content will be tagged as in a similar way across as many journal articles as possible. So they try to make the best journal article model so that it would be used, and it's being used will be a benefit to article publishing in general, that everyone is kind of converged on one article model. Now, this is not to mean that the JAT Standing Committee doesn't get involved some in best tagging practices, but it's not the main thrust of the work that the Standing Committee does to define practices. We do try to warn people away from doing terrible things, because there are some things you can do in JATS XML that are absolutely terrible. So we do try to put warnings in about those. But the best practices are not the main cause of the JATS Standing Committee. JATS for Reuse kind of has a different goal. And the interesting thing about JATS for Reuse is that we could never have put together a group to talk about how to more consistently tag articles in XML until the article model was a success. You have to have people using the article model. So the article model has to be a success across multiple publishers before we have a group that can start thinking about tagging best practices. And while the goal of the Standing Committee is to create the best article model, the goal of JATS for R is really to create the most consistently tagged corpus of articles in the future that then can be reused. So the interplay between the two groups is interesting because sometimes we get a suggestion for the JATS Standing Committee to, why don't we just let JATS for R take care of this. The JATS Standing Committee works consistently on building the best article model, writes best practices or practices to avoid when it feels it's necessary. The JATS for R group will sometimes need to make requests of the JATS Standing Committee for new attributes or new elements and things like that. And they submit those like any other JATS user through the NISO comment form. So I'd say that the two groups really don't interact much except as the JATS for R group is a user of JATS. So that's the relationship. Really, the difference is in what the goal of the groups is, and the JATS Standing Committee is trying to build the best model, and the JATS for R group is trying to create the most consistently tagged corpus of articles.
That's cool. Can I just add as well that we on JATS for R that aren't part of the JATS Standing Committee, it's really helpful when we have a member of the JATS Standing Committee on a subgroup because they can help guide us as to what they think the JATS Standing Committee is likely to favour or not favour.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say, Jeff?
Yeah, that's fair to say. And also it helps to have one of us help write the comments that would be submitted to the JATS Standing Committee. You know which things.
Because you're familiar with the format that is best understood or most effective.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Jeff, this is Evan Owens on the JATS committee. Since we get requests from a wide range of publishers, it isn't 100% the best practice. We have to support what all the publishers need. And JATS for R is a best practice in some sense.
No, that's very true, Evan. That's right. Mm-hmm. The JATS Standing Committee, the standard, needs to support all practice, which is why there are things you can do with it that are terrible.
Great. So now that we've been chatting with the members of the steering committee, I'd like to see if anyone from the audience has any questions or things you've been wondering about JATS for R. Here's your opportunity. Or anything else that the steering committee members would like to share or say about JATS for R, your process, your work, your recommendations, things that are in their hopper now. What are the recommendations that are being created as we speak? What should people look for soon?
That's cool. I was just going to say as well, other than the recommendations, there is a validator tool that I think it might be worth talking about. And there are a couple
yes.
of people that we could thank. So Chris Maloney was very active in working on that. And Alf Eaton has just recently done some work on it. But I want Jeff to talk about that because he's the most knowledgeable.
I'm the most knowledgeable. Unfortunately, I haven't been working on it much. In the last few months. The validator tool is written in Schematron, and it allows you to check your articles for their compliance. Do we think? No, we don't say compliance. Whether they're following the recommendations and things that are their absolute rules will come up as errors if you haven't followed them. Things that are suggestions will come up as warnings if you have not followed those. It's an online tool. You can upload your article and get a report. Alf does amazing work on this. All I can say is that I hope to be working on that with the help of some others again, shortly.
And with regards to like our roadmap, so we on GitHub, we have within the JATS for our organization, we have a project which contains the roadmap. And currently there are three active subgroups and two that are kind of internal documentation that are being worked on. So we have emerging references, which Stephen has been looking after, and we've got peer review materials and funding, which I've been steering. We have one in public review, which is ethics statements. We have data citations. So one of the initial recommendations we created is come back round for review again. It's currently with the steering committee. And from that, it will go out for public comment again, because I think there's a fair few changes to it. And we do some of the initial, another one, permissions, has come up for review again. And we've heard from the community that there are questions that people would like dealt with again on that. And also, interestingly, the conflicts of interest statement was recently published, but through another group, some questions around that have come up. So we're probably likely to bring that up for review again. There is one topic that is currently with the NISO topic committee, so it's almost ready to be published, and that's subjects and keywords that Kevin looked after. And then we have a fairly large backlog of items that kind of, it contains stuff from 5 years ago that when we pulled together all the thoughts of things that people might want to deal with, but they've just not kind of reached the need to go up the level to a steering group, or we've just not had the resource to do it. And also some other things. So we spent about a year circling around on article publication and history dates. And so there is another stage that our work can go through is a JATS DTD change request. So often recommendations might need to be held in a kind of holding pattern whilst the JATS standard committee review something, and they reviewed it and came back with a suggestion, which now we have to take up again. And it's and we're thinking we might need to split that group into two separate groups, but that's an example of the old process. So when we had the articles and publication and history dates, and I said we spent about a year on it, the problem was that it was on this monthly call where anyone could join. And each time we had the call, different people joined with a different opinion, which I know can be problematic. And I think that caused some of those problems. So it'll be great to see when we can release this again with a subgroup, with a dedicated bunch of people who are working on it consistently, and hopefully it will be quicker. But yeah, that's so our roadmap is there. And there are some interesting things on there, like Twitter, as a piece of author correspondence, was something that came in from the community. There are various things, taxonomy, that's another issue. And so again, that's a very old topic, and we need to review whether actually the subjects and keywords issue sort of covers that. But there's a bit of work for the steering committee to do, going through the backlog and kind of thinking about these things.
Great. So it's good to know that all of you have a lot of energy to keep up with all of these challenges. So very exciting that to be working with all of you. Any other questions for anyone in the audience, or any other comments from the steering committee experts? All right, I'm going to stop the recording and just end the recording, but we'll stay on the line.